everybody. Welcome to episode 161 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. And today's March 27th, 2012. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law. And I guess on PSN, on the occasion that I do venture there, at Murphy's Law 1969. Joining me this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Welcome to the OC Connection. We talk so sweet, you get an erection.
Oh, dear God.
I'm just trying to start off a bit like the veteran gamers type thing. But, yeah.
You're all right.
I am all right, yes.
Yeah. Shout out to Gangu Crimes. Yeah. I love your track on the beginning of the show now. I'm glad they're using it. Duke, lay off the sound effects on it, or else get your timing right better. Because
I'll tell you what, his timing was bang on this week. Bang on.
Yeah, it has. It's hit and miss, isn't it? But yeah. I like his style. Yeah, good.
Can I just tell you, I love that phrase, bang on.
Bang
it's,
on.
It's a good UKism I love.
Yeah. Anyway, Skullduggera on everything. Job done. Skullduggera on Game Center, if anybody wants to make me draw something.
Will you stop rubbing it in that nice. I don't have an iOS device, please?
And I guess we can introduce Mr. Left Out, Mr. Mike Chin.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Are you feeling left out of the whole draw something craze?
Everybody's playing draw something, like everyone. Like when I go to work, my mate has got an iPad. All right, yeah. My mate loves Peep Show, by the way. Peep Show is a British sitcom, and in this British sitcom, he says,
"I was just gonna say, I like a good Peep Show once in a while."
In this sitcom, he says, "Yeah, you're never alone with a phone," and obviously that's funny because it's true and it rhymes and everything. And he says, "You're never alone with an iPad," and he just gets it out all the time. And he was playing. I looked over to his desk, and he was like, "Are you working?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm checking Twitter." and then he was on draw something. So I was like, "You bastard."
Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but not with us yet, Mr. Christopher Matthew, although we are expecting him to join us late. He wasn't able to make the beginning of the show, so we'll add him in once he shows up. Mm-hmm. For now, I guess we can just talk about what we've been playing.
What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, you know what? I'm going to go first, guys.
Hang on, I'm leaving the show.
No, you can't leave the show. Actually, everything I've been playing, Mike, I know you haven't been playing.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Mass Effect 3 finished the game over the weekend and sparked into a huge debate and anger back and forth with I shouldn't say maybe not anger, but I personally, I had a lot of fun with the game. I didn't get so angry towards the ending. The ending certainly has some controversy around it.
EA must change the ending, the bastards.
I didn't, and I don't want BioWare to change the ending.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. If they want to maybe put out something that helps kind of clarify a few things, fine. But for the love of God, don't change the ending just because there's a few whiny fanboys out there that want you to change it because they didn't like the way it ended.
So who was you arguing with, Greg?
Possibly somebody not on our podcast right now.
Oh, right. Okay.
There was some back and forth going on in the forums and some other websites as well that I personally think, it's fine you don't like the ending of a game. And certainly Mass Effect 3, I think for a lot of people, they will not necessarily enjoy the way it wraps up. For maybe they feel it doesn't wrap up well enough. Maybe they feel there's some plot holes here and there. And I'm not going to dispute that there are potentially some plot holes. There's definitely some leaps of faith and some things that you have to kind of draw your own conclusion on. Mm. But I actually have enjoyed that aspect because I have found myself talking with Mr. Conger, Mr. Stephen Conger of The Gamesman. We've gone back and forth just talking about what the ending potentially meant, what was going on. And it's just it's had that water cooler effect where you're sitting there talking about it, saying, well, it could have been this, it could have been that. And, you know, the whole journey of Mass Effect 3 was fantastic. The entire game of Mass Effect 3 really is the end of Mass Effect 3. And that's another thing that a few podcasts have talked about. And through the course of playing it, there are multiple moments where you wrap story or kind of character lines up prior to this ending.
Yeah.
I've not played it, but
right. And I'm not going to do anything.
As a whole, with games and TV and films, I love ambiguous endings. So if this has got one, then I'll probably be a fan of it.
You know, I mean, like I said, you know, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. It is worth playing. I don't know how anybody can possibly say that because, you know, the last 20 to 10 minutes, whatever time frame they want to put on it, didn't live up to the expectation that they had for the series, that it ruined the entire franchise. Because I've seen multiple comments talking about that. There's just no way. I'm sorry.
I don't see how it can, because you still enjoyed the
can't.
First.
The journey of getting to the end of Mass Effect 3 from Mass Effect 1 all the way through was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And Mass Effect 3, again, what I have been learning, because I've now been able to listen to some of the spoiler podcasts and other podcasts talking about what they experienced in Mass Effect 3, and I got to tell you, I cannot... there's at least four or five different variations or complete characters that I never encountered, never experienced. Like Jessica Chobot from IGN apparently has a character in the game. Never came across her.
Really?
Yeah. I realized it after I'd finished it. I was like, oh, yeah, she's in the game. Where the hell was she? I don't know. There was another character that was referenced, and again, I'm not going to reference in terms of what or how the character comes into play, but it was Thane from previous games.
Oh, the assassin dude.
Never came across him.
Oh, right.
But other people had very memorable experiences about his character. So there was just all these kinds of moments where I was like, holy crap, when did that happen? When did that happen? And then just in talking with Steve, myself, you know, again, I had moments where he was like, wait a minute, when did that happen? So I personally really applaud the effort that BioWare put forward on Mass Effect 3. It is really worth playing. The multiplayer is surprisingly addictive, and it is not as shallow and horribly done as I think we all feared. I really came away with a very positive, epic experience. Mass Effect 3 was wrapped up for me about 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife just laughed her ass off at me the next day because she was like, how late did you stay up to finish that game? And I was like, well, I thought I only had 20 minutes left, and that was about 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
2 o'clock, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing, exactly. I've done 24 hours before. Come on. But anyway, Mass Effect 3, high on my recommendation list. And don't let people dissuade you from playing the game by the negative comments surrounding the ending. It is absolutely an ending that will be up for some interpretation, but the journey to get there, completely well worth $60 spent if you're going to buy the game. So, aside from Mass Effect 3,
yeah,
I've been playing Draw Something.
Fuck you, Greg.
I jumped in. I really kind of wanted to stay away from it, to be perfectly frank. I kind of was holding off. I was like, I don't want to play this game. It's another one of those social Zynga-type games. But it's kind of fun. It's easy, too, and I think that's probably the most addictive part to it. It's simple. You can, you know, get off a quick round with everybody that you know within a few minutes, and then you're done, and you don't have to worry about, you know, checking it until a few hours later if you want. There's no real time limit per se on it, so yeah, it's fun. And on Android, it's free.
Can I just say as well, even though Mike's not playing it, he is actually in it. Because
I know, I've noticed this.
I did one with Kev Knight, and yeah, it was a simple one. It was chin, and basically all he did was drew a face, pointed a red arrow to the chin area, and just wrote Mike.
Oh, now that is brilliant. Alright, well, Rich, why don't we talk about what you've been playing?
I have been playing old games again. Now, so portable game stuff, played more of Infinity Blade 2, and I really like it. It's good. I like the fighting, battle style in it, and all that lot, and it's good because it's got lots of inventory stuff that opens up to you. So really enjoying that, but I'm not too much further into it because I am finding it odd, because it is, when you've got things like draw something and you scramble with friends and stuff like that, you find it hard to kick up a game. And it's probably a thing to say, you know, that I was a little bit short and shabby on the Ghost game that Stu really likes on the Veteran Gamers, and that's because it's one that you probably have to pick up and play for quite a long period of time. And I think it's the same with this, but because it looks so good, I am finding myself drawn back to it. So I'm doing that in little stints, and yeah, enjoying it. It's good. Having played Mass Effect 2 and finishing it, and also playing Mass Effect 1 and playing it, I've got to say that I think Mass Effect 1 is the better of the two.
I think the internet would agree with you.
Mass Effect 1 was
held pretty high.
Purely based on...
Say that again. Say that again.
The Mass Effect 1 was...
I would agree with that, with all of the... All right, sorry. All of the awards and stuff that it got, it was getting better critical acclaim.
Say that statement again, Rich.
Having completed Mass Effect 2...
Can you hear me, or what?
Yes.
Rich?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which one do you think is better, Mass Effect 1 or 2?
1.
Now, the internet does not agree.
No, I think the internet does agree. The story for Mass Effect 1 was far better than the story for Mass Effect 2.
The story or the game?
Yeah. Well, the gameplay mechanic, I would agree Mass Effect 2 was much more refined, although a lot of people would also say that they dumbed down Mass Effect 2 too much, and that they took away a lot of the RPG elements from Mass Effect 1 to a detriment.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because I'm riding on the back of enjoying RPGs at the minute, that I thought that the amount of versatility you've got in adapting your players and team members made it feel a better experience to me. And if Chris was here now, I'd be saying to him, I'm in with him on the Mako. I love the Mako now.
I like the Mako. I actually
did. I like the Mako. You know what?
We all like the Mako.
Yeah.
I didn't like the shooting on the Mako.
I didn't mind it. You know what? It made me feel like it had like a little bit of something like Halo dropped into it. And that, I think, benefited it. But the overriding thing that did it for me was the story. The amount of depth in the story that they put in there is so much more. All of the backstory, like when it's unveiling all the stuff to do with the Protheans and stuff towards the end, and the big turnaround to do with the Citadel, great stuff. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a better experience for me than 2, and that's not to take away from 2, because I really enjoyed 2. I really enjoyed 2. So, yeah, got to get on board that Mass Effect 3, but I won't do it yet.
Now there is a video, and again, this is for those that have completed the trilogy of Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. It's called The Indoctrination Theory. Now, and this video goes back covering all three games, and there's real questions or debate whether this is reality or this is just some fan that somehow managed to piece together all these little parts and make them fit. Either way, whether it is truly BioWare's intent or not BioWare's intent, and just how this fan made this come together, it is pretty darn convincing. And so I would certainly encourage any of our listeners that have finished all three, Check it out. It's up in our forums under one of the spoiler posts for Mass Effect 3, so you'll see it. It's designated as a spoiler post, so once you go in there, there's a lot of people discussing the end. But this video is also embedded in there. It's about 20 minutes long. It's really good, and it makes you think, okay, I can completely get on board with the way they're going with the indoctrination theory. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody was wanting to further expound upon that.
Mm.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I derailed you. I apologize.
No, you didn't derail me at all. That's fine. Yeah, so...
So Mass Effect 1, better.
Yeah. Is anybody going to ask me who I slept with?
Who did you sleep with?
I slept with Lil.
Well,
Mike, you played Mass Effect 1 and 2, right?
Oh, was you talking about 1 or 2? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're lost. Yeah. Yeah, and she was better than Talia. Or whatever his name is. Tally.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, whatever his name was. Oh, yeah, the other thing was as well, the whole thing with Rex. That was such a shitter for me, because the way that I was talking around the ship, I only kicked in Rex's side mission, and I knew all about what happens to Rex, so I thought, I'm going to try my hardest to keep that guy. And the next main mission that I sparked off was the one where he was going to get killed. So he bit the bullet just because I didn't do his loyalty quest. So
I managed to kill off Rex as well.
Yeah, R.I.P. Rex. But I sacrificed fucking Ashley for it. I gave her the nasty mission, and I saved. Who's that guy, Caden or whatever his name is?
I you know what?
And I didn't give a shit about him, but I still saved him.
I honestly didn't give a shit about him, and I hated the fact that Ashley was a space racist. But
she was a massive racist.
Yeah, but she was hot compared to Caden, and so I killed Caden. I sacrificed him. There was no problem with that. I'd rather have a hot racist chick in my crew than boring Caden.
Yep.
Well,
the last thing, I'll do this one quickly, and I know I keep going back to it. I went back into Dark Souls, and the great thing about this thing is once I do pick it up and go back into it, I go back into it for about 4 hours at a stretch, and it's so good. And my new thing this time when I picked it up was I got invaded. I had my first experience of somebody coming into my world and trying to kill me.
You were saying it was your first experience being invaded. No. I was like, I've heard stories.
Well, we're not going to bring that to that level, Greg. I'm going to leave that to the end of the podcast when we're talking amongst ourselves. The thing is with the invasion situation, you can only do it when you get your humanity back. So if you're human, then that leaves you open to being invaded. And this is a great thing about this game. You don't know any of this shit unless somebody else tells you about it. So I was on the other week and I had a session and I was playing on my own. But I got into a private chat with Skullfrax and he was on it at the same time. So I was picking up loads of bits and bobs of information. And a lot of it that I've done, it's not been going out on the internet and finding it out. It's just been like word of mouth or forums.
That's the way Dark Souls is.
Yeah, and it's just so good to play a game like that. And so a guy came in.
So you say.
I was in the middle of the depths. And the thing is, it's such a solitude experience of like just roaming around yourself in that world, and it's so desolate and stuff. And then all of a sudden to have the shock of somebody saying, right, you've been invaded, watch your back. And then within the space of about a minute, I've got a guy with red flames all around him trying to attack me, and you know what, I kicked his ass. And I got 7,000 souls for it. But then
now you're a wanted man.
Yeah, and then I wandered into, I was carrying around probably around 15,000 souls, and I roamed into a boss fight. And this boss fight, I think it's one of the hardest ones that's in it. It might not be, somebody could correct me later on, because like I said, I've always said, I am an amateur in this. The Gaping Dragon. And whatever you say about that, this game, and I know a lot of people have picked it up and they've said, you know, I've done my thing with it against you guys, and right, we'll put that to rest. But the bosses on this game are so awesome. I mean, I've not played Shadow of the Colossus, and I've watched it, but I'd say the things that are in this game look as good as the stuff that you got in that. And brilliant gaming experience. Love it. Still love it. Great.
Excellent.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well done, you.
I'm happy.
Well done, you.
I am happy.
Gaping Dragon. Wait, did the Gaping Dragon kill you, or did you beat it?
No, it kicked my ass numerous occasions. And what's
for
more...
the Gaping Dragon.
Yeah, and I actually took... You can summon...
Sorry, Mike. I thought I had this conversation wrapped.
Well,
yeah, well
you could
done,
have wrapped
right,
it
well
up. Carried on. I summoned up Soleil, the sun guy, who's like a... He's a computer-generated one, AI. And, yeah, he got his ass kicked. I got my ass kicked. And I tried it on about 4 occasions. Yeah, not done it yet. And I also went to do the wolf. You know, the one that I was saying was the best-looking boss that I've ever seen, because I've still not beat him. And a guy came along to try and help me do that. And, yeah, I got killed straight away. So I don't know what happened to him.
Lol.
He might be fighting him still now.
Fun.
That was on Saturday. He could still be there now.
Could be.
Sounds great, mate. Sounds great.
Mike, save us. What have you been playing?
I'm sorry, Greg, but I haven't played anything.
Son of a bitch.
I haven't. I just haven't played anything at all.
Okay. Well, that really makes it really simple.
Yep.
That wraps up. I mean, we could go on and on about Dark Souls if we wanted, but we won't.
We won't.
We won't. We could talk for days about Infinity Blade 2. We won't. We could even spoil Mass Effect 3 for the masses, but we're not going to do that.
No.
Instead, we're just going to talk about some new releases. Okay, so new releases for this week. Guess what, guys? On the Wii, we've got nothing.
No.
Literally.
Oh, for Wii.
I know. Honestly, if you've got a Wii at this point, you have to just be, like, pissed at Nintendo.
Hey, guys, remember me? I'm a Wii, yeah!
Oh, but hey, on the PS3, there are quite a few games.
Yeah.
Ridge Racer Unbounded. I know, everybody's excited for some Ridge Racer!
Ridge Racer!
Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13 comes out this week. PSN games this week, you've got Closure and FIFA Soccer 12. That might be FIFA Football 12 in the UK.
No.
Do they call it football, or do they still call it soccer?
They just call it FIFA.
Okay. Minis, you've got Idiot Squad, which might be poignant after that conversation about FIFA.
Derp.
Demos this week, Blades of Time, Closure, and Zach Zero. All up there for free, if you're interested. And this week, the DLC for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 Overwatch map pack finally drops. And, yeah, that's pretty much it for PSN. Let's move over to the PS Vita. And really, the only thing going on there is Supremacy MMA Unrestricted. Interested in that? Go pick that up. Xbox 360 this week, you've got Capcom Digital Collection. $40. Ridge Racer Unbounded.
Ridge Racer.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13. And Warriors Orochi 3.
Good attempt there, Greg.
It was a good attempt, wasn't it?
Well done, you.
Yeah. I honestly don't know what's coming out on Xbox Live Arcade this week. Nothing has been posted up on my link, so I'm sure there's something coming out tomorrow. I just have no idea what. DLC front-wise, Gears of War 3 Forces of Nature comes out this week. So if you have the Season Pass, this is the last DLC for the Season Pass.
Oh.
But if you don't have the Season Pass, it's only $10. And the deals of the week, all kinds of Forza stuff going on. All of the different car packs on sale for basically half off. You also have Joe Danger Special Edition for 600 Microsoft points. That, I would say, is well worth checking out. Anybody that likes kind of a Trials HD-like experience, Joe Danger is very much kind of like that, just a little more cartoony and not quite as difficult as a Trials HD. You also have Daytona USA and Sega Rally Online Arcade. So lots of racing going on.
I've got a question.
I have an answer.
Greg and yes. Chris, I know, would definitely have an answer. New Forza. Right. Have they ever released a track pack as a DLC?
Not a track pack as DLC. No. They have included tracks with car DLC. I believe, in fact, one of the recent packs had a track included with it. And then in Forza 3, they did have a track pack, but not in Forza 4. So
yeah, but you know the track pack that they did in 3, was it like Nuremberg, but a different variation of it? Or something like that?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
I'd be surprised that, like, with a big franchise like that, they don't do things like tracks. Extra tracks.
That's because they want you to buy Forza Horizon.
They could only say that now. They've not done that for the last two. It's not good enough.
True. Alright, that is it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alright, so it's news quiz time. But before we jump into the news quiz, well, we need to bring in Mr. Christopher Matthew.
No, you don't. No, you don't want that.
We don't want this.
I'm going to bring the show down. The show is up here, and now it's down here. What the audience can't see is me holding my hand up here high and then bringing it down low to say it's up here. Now it's down here.
What's weird is I can see it.
That is weird.
You look tired, Chris.
I'm scared.
Moby music.
I'm scared.
All right. So, Chris, real fast, let's talk about what you've been playing.
Well, what I've been playing. I played some more Kingdoms of Amalur, finished up the DLC. That DLC was pretty good. The only disappointment about the new DLC was there was no level cap increase. I was really hoping they'd have that. It seems anymore with a role-playing game, if you're going to introduce DLC, you got to introduce a level cap increase. Because otherwise, you know, a game like that, what keeps you playing is unlocking new abilities and stuff. And I've already maxed out my character. So, anyway. That's that. Played some old games. I played a game called Spellforce on the PC, which is kind of this weird role-playing strategy game. I don't know. It's okay. I played the Bastion demo. That was a pretty cool little game.
Buy it, Chris. It's a great game.
Well, here's the thing. I need to try the demo again using the Xbox 360 controller. It was very difficult with the keyboard because, you know, the keyboard wants you to move left, right, up, down, but that game wants you to move diagonally.
Yeah, so
you'll like it.
Yeah. But that was a pretty cool little game. I think I might try it out some more. Played a little bit of Battlefield 3, finished up co-op on hard difficulty, so that's cool. Thanks. Well, I'll shout him out later. Bit of the old Forza Motorsport 4. Dusted off Transformers War for Cybertron, trying to clean up the last couple achievements in that. Oh, hush your mouth. Here's the thing. The single player on Transformers War for Cybertron was fun. The multiplayer is adequate. The co-op is terrible. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. And I've been playing Mass Effect.
All right, me and Mike are just going to step to the side while you guys get your fisties out.
No, you know what? There's no argument. There's no argument to be had.
Yeah, there is.
Chris,
no, there isn't.
Chris and I, we have discussed our differences numerous times, both in the forums and just a few minutes ago.
There's no argument to be had because you know I'm right.
He does not like the ending. I did not mind the ending. I do freely admit there are some plot holes.
Now, I agree with you, Greg, in that while I was playing the ending, I was like, all right, yeah, this is cool, what's going to happen next? But now that it's done, so when you finish an epic like that, right, like when you finish something that's taken so many hours of your life, you're going to give it some reflection, And the more I reflect upon the ending of Mass Effect 3, the worse it gets. So
all I need to know from you, Chris, having not played it, is it as shitty as the ending of The Sopranos Fade to Black?
It's not quite that bad.
That's all right, then.
You'll actually feel like it actually is much more complete than The Sopranos ending.
When you first finish it, you're like, okay, I'm done. But then you start to think, well, what about that? And what about that? And what the hell? So, anyway.
There are definitely those kind of moments. But I again will stand by my comment from earlier, which, Chris, you weren't around for, which is it is still, regardless of, you know, what you've heard or think the final 20 minutes will entail, well worth playing and the $60 investment. It is a great game.
I'm not arguing that it's not a brilliant game. But the ending sucks.
Because of the news blackout, well, not the news blackout, because of the fact that I'm doing news blackout on this, is there anything that might be coming out DLC-wise that might be filling some of these gaps in that everybody's going to get a bit more
Allegedly.
Well, yeah, really? It's hard to say. It is hard to say because BioWare has basically said they're going to try to address this.
Here's some DLC. Give me some money.
The real question is it in the form of like an epilogue where it helps kind of fill in some of those holes that we were talking about, or is it literally changing the ending of the game? Nobody knows. I don't even know that BioWare knows.
Nobody knows.
I'm hoping they're not going to change the ending.
The trouble.
But I certainly would like them to fill in some of those blanks, fill in some of the holes where, you know, we all sat around saying, wait a minute.
You know what the problem with that is, Greg? They can't.
Oh, they might be able to. You never know.
There is some terrible continuity errors in the ending of the game that they can't, without rewriting the laws of physics, change.
Unless there
Unless
is.
This is all bullshit.
Well, we'll save that portion of our conversation for a different day. Maybe we will do a spoiler cast down the road in the not-so-distant future and talk in depth about the ending, about just the journey of Mass Effect 3, because I think it is certainly one that every time I talk to somebody or listen to somebody else talking about the game, I hear about elements or things that have happened that I completely missed out on or the other person didn't see or experience themselves what I experienced.
Does that make you want to play it again, Greg? Because for me, I've not wanted to go back and do it because I felt that's my story and I don't want to relive it. You know what I mean?
See, the funny thing is, I'm not at all inclined to be like, oh, I need to go back and play the single player and experience that. For me, what ends up happening is I get this, it's actually a sense of enjoyment of, oh my God, are you kidding me? That happened in your game? Because that completely didn't happen in mine. Or, you know what? No, that totally happened in my game. What are you talking about? How did you not get that? And it's that water cooler moment where you start talking about it and you figure out where your paths diverged or what happened. You know, a lot of it has to do with some people when they played Mass Effect 2, they didn't go through and try and get the perfect ending with the entire crew intact. That has an impact on this game. In other areas, even like, you know, the DLC character like Thane, that kind of thing. Again, elements that you potentially could miss out on if you didn't necessarily experience it in Mass Effect 2. So, or even going back all the way to Mass Effect 1. They did a good job of making Mass Effect 3, in at least my eyes, Chris. The entire game really is the end of Mass Effect. It's not just that last 20 minutes, but the last 20 minutes, unfortunately, is what is sticking out for everybody because it was the very end of the game. But, I mean, a lot of stuff gets wrapped up. A lot of stuff is finished prior to that. So, anyway. Can we agree to move on?
Video games.
Yeah.
We'll agree.
Game quiz time.
Do you agree that it sucks?
No, never. let's talk about a news quiz, unless, Chris, you have anything else you want to discuss.
It sucks.
All right. News quiz. Here we go. Question number one. Let's throw this over to Rich.
Oh, yeah.
What well-known spokesperson from Activision's Infinity Ward team has announced, as of yesterday, he is leaving the company?
Ooh, I know.
Is it A, Robert Bowling, B, Bobby Kotick, or 3, Ernie Zampezi?
Zampezi. Zambala went, didn't he? West went. Bowling's the big high-profile guy, and Bobby Kotick's not going fucking anywhere. yeah, Bowling.
Yes, indeed. Robert Bowling, a longtime Call of Duty franchise guy, decided to resign from Infinity Ward and Activision as of yesterday.
That's because they're ready to do the elder. Because he's a community guy, isn't he? All he does is get the spiel out and get everybody up and hyped for everything that's going off. So he'll be off. He'll be off to Respawn.
I'm sure he will.
I can smell it.
I personally like Robert Bowling.
No, he's a good guy.
And unfortunately,
do you know him?
Yes, I
no,
know
he's
him.
No, he's a good guy on his blog and stuff. I like the way he carries himself. Yeah.
I think he did justice for the Call of Duty franchise. And it's a little unfortunate, actually, that a lot of the Call of Duty haters or the extreme fanboys, I guess, really kind of took it to him on Twitter. And we're sending him some rather nasty messages of basically kind of, you know, good riddance and
really? Even
worse. Yeah, it was, you know, it's just one of those moments where you're like, yeah, the internet brings out the worst in people.
Well, he wants to change his job. Like, good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him. I'm sure he's made his share of money, and hey, best of luck to him wherever he...
I bet he does all right. He's like Stu from the Veteran Gamers. He does all right.
There you go. Mike,
yep.
You are up next. Sony pulled 2 games off of the PSP Vita download list for fear of hacking. What are the 2 games?
I got a clue.
Is it A, and it's what are the 2 games out of these 3, I should say? A, Hot Shots Tennis. B, Hot Shots Golf. Or C, Motor Storm Arctic Rift. Which of those... Two of those games out of the 3 have been pulled.
Hot Shots, Golf, Motor Storm, I'll say.
You were almost there. It's Hot Shots Tennis and Motor Storm Arctic Rift. Yeah, no longer available. Apparently, the hacking question allows users to run an unsigned code on the Vita in the PSP mode and enables homebrew programming.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
well,
so...
At least Stu got to play Motorstorm.
There you go. At least he got to play it. All right, Mr. Matthew, what development house has left the comfortable, lumpy couch of THQ and is now going to have their games published by Warner Brothers in 2012? Is it A, Codemasters, B, Vigil Games,
I know
or
all
C,
the,
Volition?
That's fair, Greg. I knew the other question out of this one.
The Dirt Guys, Codemasters, right?
It is. It is, in fact, Codemasters. Yes, they are leaving THQ and Warner Brothers picking up the slack.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of THQ, I forgot to mention that I played Saints Row the Third this week. Finished up the DLC. Good stuff.
You are forgiven. Rich, moving over to you. There's a new developer jumping onto the free-to-play bandwagon with a newly announced title, Cold Mercury. Jeez, if I could only speak today. So Cold Mercury, it's a new free-to-play game. Who's it being made by? Is it Sledgehammer Games, Starbreeze Games, or Guerrilla Games?
What is this game?
There's no details out yet, but it's a fairly well-known developer.
Well, it's not going to be Sledgehammer.
Lol.
They know what they're doing. They've been told.
For the rest of their lives.
By their daddy. Starbreeze.
You'd be correct, yeah. Starbreeze, the developers behind Syndicate and Riddick, announced they're going to the free-to-play model with Cold Mercury. No real details have been announced yet, but this is kind of that new trend. Everybody wants to go free-to-play. They did say that the title does not mean the company is moving away from AAA development. So I don't know if that's good or bad news.
It just means that they won't be doing it.
Don't expect a AAA game out of this one, but maybe next time.
All it means is if this doesn't work, then we'll go back to the normal one.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
Yo.
Here's something you probably won't know anything about.
All right.
New Angry Birds game, Angry Birds in Space.
I prefer an OS device, and I haven't got one. So
there you go. Well,
this is an apt question, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I hate
Angry Birds basically just went on sale.
Yep.
In 3 days' time, how many downloads has it had? Is it A, 3 million, B, 6 million, or C, 10 million?
Six.
You'd be wrong.
Ugh.
10 million downloads in 3 days.
Dang.
Yeah. Angry Birds Space is on fire like there is, I mean, I don't even know if there's been a more popular game before. Let me just say that.
Yeah. That's some good game.
Plants vs. Zombies. Oh, talking of Plants vs. Zombies.
No, wasn't actually. We wasn't.
I know.
Listen to this one. I was laying some lawn at my father-in-law's house on Saturday.
Yeah.
And you know how you get lawn delivered to you and it's in rolls and you roll it out? This is how crazy my son is on video games. He was watching us roll out these lawns and he says, it's Plants vs. Zombies. And I was like, what do you mean? He says, when it's loading, it's Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, yeah.
She got the lawn rolling out. Anyway, sorry. Moving on.
That's okay. Chris, question for you. What was the reason the retake Mass Effect 3 for Child's Play was shut down by Child's Play? Is it A, BioWare and EA had no affiliation to the cause? B, many donors thought they were funding a new ending? Or C, all of the above?
Let's go with C.
Smart man, yes. It is, in fact, C. BioWare was completely unaffiliated with the fundraiser, and no amount of money raised would guarantee a new ending.
Wow.
And that was actually misunderstood by many people that were donating, and apparently some of the people giving to the cause seemed to think they were paying for a new ending to Mass Effect.
That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad.
Child's Play decided they needed to shut it down, and they actually went ahead and they instituted some new kind of rules to it for future Child's Play funding, and said Child's Play cannot be a tool to draw attention to a cause. Child's Play must be the cause. And I think that's pretty fair.
Yep.
All right. Rich.
The
last question is going to go to you. The retailer game is circling the drain. We all know this. And I guess they've gone into administration, as you guys call it over there in the UK.
I've got a story for that.
Yeah, and they are basically talking about shutting down some stores immediately. This is actually a news story you sent to me, Rich, so I'm not going to sugarcoat this. How many stores are facing immediate shutdown? Is it A, 193, B, 277, or C, 312?
Sound fair. I know this one as well.
God, I don't know this, because I was just looking at the figures and how much was going out the door beforehand. That was the whole reason why I sent it. I'm going to go 193.
Wrong.
277.
Yeah, fair enough.
Stores facing immediate shutdown, and I guess that's out of a total of 609 stores.
I got a those gift cards.
Sure.
And I went into GameStation and I went, nope.
Yep, useless now.
Oh look, he's done.
They suspended all game, gift cards. Yeah, pretty tough spot. I guess apparently there's about 2,000 jobs that are immediately going to be cut, as well as 15 head office employees.
Yep. And to be fair, when I went in, like, my mate works in game, so my £30 gift card, which was gifted to me, isn't really much of a problem compared to the fact that he's going to have no job soon if they don't book up their ideas. True. But apparently, the Royal Bank of Scotland might put a stake in it, which is a bit controversial, Greg, because the Royal Bank of Scotland is owned by whom, Primrose?
The government.
The taxpayer, more precisely. So that's a bit of a dodgy move if they do that. So, we'll see if they get saved by the taxpayer themselves.
So, you know, Eric Piotrowski has got his communist game store. We've gone one better.
I'm listening.
We've got a government-funded game store.
Yeah.
That'd be like a socialist game store?
Yeah.
No fucking way is it socialist.
All right.
Democracy
that's
doesn't
it
work,
for the news
Greg.
Quiz. Democracy is just a facade.
We gave it a good crack, democracy. It's not working out. We'll just change it.
Hey, we don't even have a true democracy over here. We're all about the republic.
Oh, yeah.
Representation, baby. Representation. All right. Last week, we had this thing we did. It was a game guess moment or quiz add-on. We had some kinks to it. Didn't exactly float the boat of everybody, but some people liked it. So we want to try one more time with it. So bear with us. We're cutting it down to one game. Mike, you're the person that's got that game this week. What it is.
Yep.
We're each going to get three guesses or three questions to ask you. Then we collectively put our heads together, guess the game, and move on. So that said, Mr. Primrose, why don't you start off the questions?
Is it an EA game?
No.
Does it have a male character on the cover?
Yes.
Is that character carrying a weapon?
Yes.
Move on, next person.
Okay. Is this an Activision game?
No.
Is it a Ubisoft game?
Yes.
And is the weapon a gun?
Yes.
Ooh.
Chris, three questions for you.
I think Greg knows what it is.
Is the weapon a sword?
Greg has already asked if the weapon is a gun.
It could have more than one weapon.
What? Oh, wait. Did you say it was a gun?
I said it was a gun.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said it wasn't a gun. I apologize.
No, I said it was.
A male character holding a gun published by Ubisoft.
No, Ubisoft.
Yes. Ubisoft.
I have an inkling.
Is it set after 1900?
Yes.
Okay.
This is better. We're narrowing it down.
Yes.
It's going better this week. Definitely.
Yeah.
Google is available, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah. So,
calm yourself.
Last question for you.
I have one more question. I have two more questions. I only asked one.
Two more then.
See, so it's after 1900, male character carrying a gun, published by Ubisoft. Is it set in the United States?
Yes.
I know what it is.
Does a lot of the story happen to take place around Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Is it Splinter Cell Conviction?
It is. Congratulations.
There we go.
You win nothing.
Yes.
Yay, I win nothing.
That was good.
You win a gold star. Everybody gets a gold star today.
That went a lot better. I reckon we could improve it by So at the end of each three guesses, the person has to have a guess, and the person who gets it right first wins the thing for no reason.
I think we should improve it by doing what I said last week and putting it next to some bodily part while you're doing it, and you have to guess the bodily part.
No, that's an awful guess.
Yeah, it is a horrible, horrible, horrible
one. That one.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of moving on, it's time for the show break.
Show break.
When we get back, we'll jump into the mailbag, and we'll talk some forums, some emails, upcoming events, and we'll get out of here.
Bye. Well, you know what? I'm going to miss you guys when I'm gone. I'll see you later.
Y'all bleed, tiptoeing through the shadows cause I'm light on my feet. Or jumping off rooftops, using stealth to kill you. It's like I've been here before, this place is looking familiar. With a price in your head, there's no place you can hide. I'll use swords, blades, spears, poison arrows and knives. I'll take lives away, till there ain't none left. I'm not a fan of Justin Bieber, I'm the angel of death. I put the ass in assassin, I'm kind of a clown. But the guards will never catch me, I don't wanna get found. Signing mad contracts and racking up bids. Taking way more hits than Rihanna did, oh. And did I mention I'm the master of disguise? Stab you right in your back from behind three times. Or was it me, or him, or somebody else? When you see me come a-running, then you'll poop yourself. Some people have normal lives. My only friends are blades, poison arrows, and knives. Some people have a death wish. I'll go through, motherfucker, make you want to exist. It's looking bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed, so bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed. My voice low, no need to get loud. And if you think you got me pegged, then I blend into the crowd. Hanging around with harlots and prostitutes. Turn around for a second, I'll pickpocket your loot. And shoot my hidden blade right into your chest. The axe to your dome is making a mess, they're perplexed.
Hey, where did that guy go?
Crawling up the building, hanging off the window. On the low, take a nap in the hay, let the law pass. Then pop out with my blade, stick it in your ass. I'm fast and to kill is my mission. Checking out mad bucks with my eagle vision. Get out of my kitchen when I'm cooking up pain. Tossing coins to the crowd, straight making it rain. I'm a serial killer, always eating Fruit Loops. But I always got some time to stop and stare at some boobs.
Some people get no respect.
I'll send you swinging with a noose around your neck.
Some people are overrated.
Like a chicken with no head, I'll leave you decapitated.
It's looking bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed, so bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed. But being a killer really is lonely. It's hard to find a chick that is sick enough to bone me. So I keep it undercover that my lover is my hand. And if you've never had to do it, then you wouldn't understand. And my plan is to take every one of you out. Toss your ass off the roof or put some poison in your mouth. And no doubt you can't shout with my sword in your ear. Like Houdini, you'll disappear later. Yeah, of course I'm running around on my horse. Always swinging my sword straight, leaving a corpse. Killing off the bad guys, it never gets old. Revenge is a dish that is best served cold. You can try to run if you want, but you'll never escape. I got the hidden gun cock pointed right at your face. So watch your back because I'm dangerous. I'm the motherfucking king of the animals. It's looking bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed, so bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed.
It's
looking bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed, so bleak, I come to make you bleed.
No chance to escape.
It's Assassin's Creed.
All right, we are back from the break and ready to discuss this week's question, which I believe was delivered by Cybernaut, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Matthew.
Cybernaut was the author of the question.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and read off the question?
I'll go ahead and read off the question. Cybernaut says, does importing a character ruin your role-playing game experience? And he says, after importing my character, I started this game with a level 27 adept, So he's talking about Mass Effect 3 specifically. Level 27 adept and could instantly max out some of my abilities. I can't help thinking I'm missing out on the buzz of the gradual improvements and the thrill of finally gaining the coolest powers. Are we being denied a main aspect of a good RPG, or do you like being a badass from the start? Maybe they could have let us import all our previous decisions, but start the game at level 1. So basically he's wondering if importing the character starts you off too powerful. Thoughts?
You know, I mean, it is an interesting thought, because I know when I started up Mass Effect 3, I did, you know, had the same situation where I was like, holy crap, my character's pretty darn powerful. I think in Mass Effect 3, because it's so much more about the dialogue and the interaction of the characters than, I mean, the combat certainly is fun and good, but, I mean, the overall game is not so much about, at least in my experience, it's not so much about leveling up the character as it was experiencing the story. So I kind of gave it a pass on that. I didn't have such a big problem with that. But, yeah, I can see where, you know, importing a high-level character maybe diminishes a bit of the feeling of leveling yourself up and growing that character. And maybe this is more speaking to the fact that maybe you shouldn't make RPG trilogies, because, you know, they got away with kind of resetting our stats in Mass Effect 2. I don't think anybody really balked at it, because it kind of worked the way they had it in the story. And so we didn't really experience having to import a high-level character until Mass Effect 3. And maybe that just doesn't work for RPGs. Maybe we shouldn't be importing high-level characters. Maybe you keep RPG sequels, just make them twos, you know?
I've got an opinion on this.
Well, please share it.
Probably right. I think it's all a question of balancing. If they balance the game right, and they've got a high enough level cap, then it shouldn't probably make a difference. E.g., Skyrim is good because the enemies that you face are constantly balanced against what level you are. But something like Dark Souls, every single character that you're fighting...
He's got to do it, isn't he, Greg? He's got to bring it in every conversation.
No, I haven't.
In the general election, right, it's just Labour and Conservatives is a bit like Dark Souls and Mass Effect, you know? You know, yes. This Olympics thing, it's a lot like Dark Souls. Nobody wants it.
I'm just putting it down. I do really feel it is to do with balancing. If they are as clever as they lead us to believe, then hopefully they would have balanced that game so that if they do bump you up to what would be considered to be a level 27, then you would find the game enough of a challenge at that point anyway to be able to enjoy the perks that you've probably accrued. Do you get perks in that? Is it like one where you get perks for going to certain levels? You would be able to enjoy them perks, but not feel like that you're breezing through the game so easily.
So your solution, and let me just kind of paraphrase real fast. It's in an instance like this where you're bringing in a high-level character, they should...
The cap should really be high enough.
The cap should be high enough that... One, you'll still experience leveling up, and two, they should have the enemies scale with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, here's my question to you. In that scenario, what about the player that comes in never having played the first two games?
Oh.
What do you do there?
That's fine.
Start as a level one, and then obviously the NPCs are all drawn back to a suitable level, say, i.e., the characters that you're fighting would be, say, level 3, so you have to bosh them a bit, but if you came in at level 27, then they would be, say, 35.
Okay.
Oh, Greg, he's got your back there.
Well, there's nothing to get back. I mean, it's just a question.
It's all heating up now on the RC Cut podcast.
Well, Mike, what do you think?
I forgot that I might have to answer this question.
Oh, he's got you there.
Oh, you both got me now. Yeah, it's the emphasis on the developer. It's their responsibility to balance that. I agree with you, Primrose.
Mr. Matthew, anything you want to add or detract from?
No, I agree with Rich. I mean, as long as the game remains challenging. Now, I think if you started the game at level 30, so I imported my save and I started at level 30. Had I been playing on normal difficulty, I probably would have waltzed right through it. But the nice thing is, in this case, rather than making you play through once to unlock the hardest difficulty, if you imported a game save, you could start on the hardest difficulty right away.
So yeah, that's good.
On the insanity right away, and so from the very get-go, it was very challenging.
That's good balancing in itself, isn't it, really? Giving you that control. Right. Yeah. Nice.
Nice. Okay.
I think we have the solution.
Well, let's see what the members had to say. My dog doesn't like it.
Dog doesn't like anything.
No, he's angry dog. I'm going to make a video game about angry dogs. Not really sure. He's probably going to have to, like, kill cats or something for stealing his bacon. Anyway, True Shot says, my opinion is that it's a trilogy and Shepard is a veteran badass of two campaigns so far. It doesn't bother me at all. You have a long way to go to fill up the bars for all the abilities / perks. Plus, on the higher difficulties, I don't feel so overpowered as I'm getting close to dying often already. Lol. And then I chimed in with, I agree with True Shot. Started playing on Insanity. I've already said all that. Moving on. Steve-O says, agreed.
Just commenting. Continue on.
Oh, I was just trying to see what Mike had to say. Sorry. My bad.
It's all right. It's all right. Steve-O. Mike doesn't really have anything to say.
True. I'm going to reach through the internet and choke you. Steve-O-Matic says, agreed. Made sense in part two, but for part three, it would make sense that you should be as strong as you left part two. Unless they wanted to pull a God of War and drop you into the River Styx so zombies can steal your weapons.
Oh, God, that was so stupid.
Guessing that wouldn't fly in this universe, though, smiley face. I think they kind of built the multiplayer to satisfy the craving for building your character from scratch. That's what got me hooked on the multiplayer anyway.
Yeah.
Gondorian Knight says, not at all. I like being able to start with so many talents points and extra stat points so you can use a good reward for returning veterans. I was quite surprised by how high the skills were when I first imported. I started at level 30 and had something in the region of 3 or 4 powers, 2 stages away from max power, with an additional 20-something stat points, virtually enough to max out a skill right from the off. I completed the demo campaign on Insanity, and it was hard as hell. Combat is generally a lot smoother starting at a higher level, but when fighting mechs and heavy armor combat units, you will take a serious kicking. And yes, I'm playing through my first game on Insanity. Lol. Best way to get the most out of the game, I think. Gives the best return for the amount of stat points I have. Hardcore was a bit easy on the demo, so I'm going to show the Reapers how it's done. Well done, GK.
Don't fear the Reapers.
Don't fear the Reapers. Got to have more cowbell. Fooper says, I think it should be a choice. Allow you to import just your character's physical traits, choice 1, or just decisions, choice 2, or all your skills, choice 3, or some various combination of the three, choices 4, 5, and 6. And Gondorian Knight answers, true enough. I guess then it would make it a bit more streamlined for everyone. I like how they reduced the protection levels of enemies, though. In Mass Effect 2, biotics were made useless because virtually everything had secondary barriers or shields, or at least they did on higher difficulty. I'm dreading fighting the Reapers on Insanity when I bump into them. Man, is that going to be brutal or what? Face with his mind being blown. Gamer 27 says, I don't think it does. It would have been nice to have been able to do that with Dragon Age 2. I guess you could to an extent, your choices and whatnot, but not your actual person. Of course, a continuing storyline might have been nice too, considering Mass Effect is a continuing story. I agree. Shep should continue with the skills he already has. Shinyverse says, I like having a character that I can use throughout the series. I feel like we've been through a lot together, and I have experience bonus is helpful. I don't feel like I'm missing anything by importing a character. Marcanix says, I think it's been great using my same ship from Mass Effect 1 through Mass Effect 2 and now into Mass Effect 3. I just hope more games do this with the sequels. Then we go into making fun of Primrose for a while.
Well, that's easy, isn't it?
Okay. Goes without, that's like 3 pages long.
What's this?
All right,
nothing.
No. And then continue
Cooper
on.
Cooper comes on and says, for the love of gaming, Please don't let Skull read any of these. When he just talks about games, it's fun, but when he starts reading things, I always worry about him. I suspect he's having a seizure of some sort, and I'm ready to dial 911. Before I realize it's just a written word wreaking havoc with him, and also 911 won't help people over the Atlantic.
Smiley. It's true.
Is this why you give me the play votes for him?
To which Marcanix replies, ha, oh dear, and for all those in the USA, I would like to clarify that us Brits don't say the word skeleton as skellington. That's just Rich. Lol. Sorry, Rich. Smiley face kisses.
It's a skelly bob.
A skelly bob.
Yeah, it's something. Okay. So then Cybernaut says, well, everyone seems happy with it in Mass Effect, but what if you started Final Fantasy 13 2 with a level 30 character and maxed out Thundaga and Faraga spells? I don't know what that means. I'm assuming lightning and fire.
Yeah.
I don't know what
I think. I would just like to point out, I think that is making a huge assumption that we would play Final Fantasy 13 2.
A lot of people played it, Greg. A lot of people.
No. I have not heard of this game ever.
Okay.
Okay.
He doesn't know what the equivalent of Skyrim would be, but you get the idea. And then I said, I think if it's an RPG where you're continuing a previous character, then that's cool, as long as there's something left to unlock somewhere else to build to, which there was. And then I brought up the question, what about the DLC? The thing that made the Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas DLCs really cool was that each one came with an increased level cap, new perks, new weapons, new stuffs. So basically, as long as there's somewhere new and cool to go with your character, I'm good.
So can I just throw in real fast?
No.
As I've been listening to this forum topic kind of continue on, the funny thing that struck me is the more and more I'm listening to people talking about this, the more and more I realize what they're describing is WoW. A persistent online character that you can continue on to new areas and maintain your stat bonuses and your perks into the next campaign, yeah, the next level.
There's a big difference, though. It doesn't suck. Okay. Old Spicy says, what if you could keep a character and abilities and a new game added uber powers to gain? The difficulty could auto-adjust depending on if you're importing a character or not, and the fans of the series with save games could gain extra abilities that newcomers wouldn't be able to get to. So that's something interesting, like being able to get some abilities that you couldn't get without importing a character. So I'm assuming in Mass Effect 3 they'd handle
that. That would raise holy hell, though.
Well, not necessarily, because in Mass Effect 3, you always have the option, or in the Mass Effect series, I should say, you always had the option for the new game plus, right? You finish the game with a character, you can start over with that same character, and you keep all your abilities and all the items and everything that you've unlocked.
Right.
So they could do the same thing here. So if you imported a Mass Effect 2 save, there's some abilities that are available to you right away, but if you didn't, you have to do a new game plus to get to those abilities.
Okay, as long as you were able to get to them. I thought the way that was reading it was saying that if you didn't play the previous game, you didn't get these new abilities.
There'd have to be a way to get to them, I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, let's see. And then Cybernaut rounds off the topic with, that is an excellent idea. And scene.
Okay. Rich, now that we insulted you thoroughly, you maybe want to let us know what the Play Vault had to say?
Yeah, this one's going out to Fupa. that's a good question, Cybernaut. Makes a great point. I have imported my character for ME1 to ME2, and if memory serves me right, I just got a lot more credits and some Paragon points, as well as the standard stuff with characters carrying over between saves, and past decisions coming back to haunt me, etc. See, that's what I like. I like the idea of just taking your points from the story. But we'll sideline that because we've already spoke about it. As for being a badass from the start, I think we are missing out. There is nothing more fun for role-playing games than being a level 1 noob armed only with a stick or a pea shooter. I disagree with that because I don't like starting off as crap.
You like Dark Souls, so...
Yeah, the deprived in Dark Souls. Try that. Just for kicks. And your mission is to rank up. Get stronger and purchase the biggest and most badass weapons, taking that away through importing a previous badass who can kick most enemies' ass from the start anyway. That takes away a lot of the fun. To cut a long story short, importing characters from previous games is good for keeping previous decisions and actions consistent between games. Funds should carry over between saves, but the level of the character should not be any higher than level 3 or so from the start of the game. Importing the character that begins your game at a level higher than 25 is just taking away the fun from building your character. In response to that from GH Rocker was, not really, it continues in the story and makes your character more important to you, and the story, in my case, I should have imported from my Mass Effect 2 save. What is that symbol, that smiley? That's not a smiley, is it? What's that mean? Smiley people?
No idea what you're talking about at the moment.
Are you not looking at the website?
I believe so. That is shiny, happy people holding hands.
Is it?
I have no idea.
I don't believe that.
I'm not looking at it, but it sounded...
Anybody good. Knows what a colon with a uppercase L is?
No.
I believe he's sticking his tongue out at you.
No, that's a D.
Might have been
a P. In
might it. Have been a misstroken keystroke.
Misstroken, yeah.
Looks like
yes,
a smiley.
Proper English.
It's a smiley with a fag in its mouth.
He's drooling.
I think it's kind of like a worried face.
Okay.
I think it's time to talk about emails.
I agree.
Mike, email.
Oh,
do it.
Oh, I'm going to do something. Oh, no.
Yes.
Right, okay. Da, 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 da. Right, so, what's the first email? Parsnip knows. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Is that correct? Okay. Dear PC Podcast, whoops, that must be a typo. Many thanks to Chinny for killing last week's PC gaming conversation before it even started. I applaud your quick-wittedness in saving us all from that face worse than fate, worse than death. What did I say?
I'm not sure what you said, but I believe you quelled the PC conversation quickly.
I have no idea what you said, but it must have been horrible.
Yes.
Take that, PC gaming. I don't care how many trilobytes of memory my Xbox has compared to a PC, and I'm happy in my state of ignorant bliss. I think I was just saying, oh, console gaming will be rare forever because console gamers are stupid, including me, or something like that. lots of love, Parsnip. P.S. Re-importing of characters. I think this only really matters if you put up a lot of time and effort into your character, and that's something I never do anyway. I can't even be bothered to spend the daily 5 minutes it takes to have a shave, so why would I care what shape my little pixel character's chin is, or how high up his eyes are, or am I missing the point here? Are we talking about importing more than just physical attributes? Either way, it's not something that matters to me. PSS, which I think is PPS, or whatever.
might be PPS.
PPS. What are your earliest video game memories, and when were they? For example, Greg, in the 20s, when video game wasn't around, what did you do?
Yes.
No, I'm only joking.
This is penny up pinball machines. Baseball.
Help me out.
I'm out of them.
Parsley didn't write that. That was me ad-libbing that in.
Skittles.
So I'll go to Chris. What is your earliest... actually, there's more to the question. So what are your earliest memories of arcade games that impressed you? And what was your first home gaming console? So Chris, I'll go to you first.
Well, I think the first home gaming console I had was the ColecoVision.
ColecoVision.
Followed
nice.
Shortly by the Intellivision. I can't remember who was... Somebody was bashing on the Intellivision on a podcast I was listening to recently, and I want to say to that person, you're absolutely wrong. The Intellivision was awesome, but whatever.
Any arcade games? Though,
I'm getting to the arcade games. The first arcade game that I remember really being hooked on was a Star Wars game. I think it was just called Star Wars.
Yes.
But it was the one that was all vector graphics.
Yep, you were in a little cockpit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one was really cool. I got really hooked on
it. I like the tank one better.
Battle in the Battle Zone.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first one I remember really being hooked on. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Let's see. So my earliest memories are of playing the helicopter game on the ColecoVision and the Smurfs on the ColecoVision, and the console or the arcade was the Star Wars one.
And when was that?
Geez, I don't know, man. Like 1985 or something.
Wow. Greg, on to you, son.
First video game memory was Pong.
Pong.
The original Pong.
Oh.
Literally hooked up, yeah, black and white Pong.
Greg,
I think I'd probably say the first video game I was, like, really hooked on and I guess you could call it impressed with was a game called Omega Race, which it was kind of same vector graphics kind of style of game, but it was a top-down, almost Asteroids-like game. And I loved that. I played that for hours. And I can't tell you how many quarters I wasted on that machine. Yeah, and it was really kind of more the arcade where I would go to play most of my games, even though we had Pong. I also remember the Commodore 64. My buddy had it was like World Series Baseball on it. Good God, we would play baseball for hours. So
baseball, yeah. Huh?
Baseball.
And when was this, Craig, to show your age?
God, the baseball, I want to say I was probably 14. So that was 19... God. 1982?
Wow.
80, I'm at 84, I don't know. Somewhere in there. 82 to 84.
Primrose?
I want to take you back to 1978. Malta, January. Dismal, bleak, horrible place to be in the middle of January. Holiday abroad, 10 pences in a game. It was to do with minesweeping. So basically, you was dropping depth charges on submarines. So these are very vague memories. I was only 7 years old, and it was 10 pences galore, and I was hooked on it. From then, and I will take issue with Mr. Stuart Fowler of the Veteran Gamers. If you was to buy a ZX81, then you were not down with the boys unless you went and bought a 16K RAM pack for that baby, which would have cost you probably about £10, and the whole of the computer would have cost you about £25. So, yeah, ZX81, 16K RAM pack, Scramble from Quicksilver Games, first game I bought, and loved it. From there, getting and programming your own basic games, and then actually getting hold of machine code and sitting and typing that for hours on end, and it did take hours on end. Then went from Spectrum. Everyone knows Spectrum. Everyone's a Wally. That was a highlight for me. Everybody any play that? Everyone's a Wally. Yeah, great game.
No clue what you're talking
about. Jet Set
about.
Willy, Manic Miner, Attic Attack, and then you had the great games that came out. Sabrewulf, Underworld, brilliant. Love them. Moved on from that. Got a BBC Micro. I have not got heady days of that. I've told you the story about dropping it off the attic. I got shot of it as soon as I could because you couldn't get any good games on it.
It's almost like you're speaking a foreign language to me right now.
Yeah, well, there'll be people that know what I'm talking about, so I'm talking quickly just to get before everybody shuts me up. Amiga, Psygnosis, who did the games for that. Mega Blast. First time I ever...
Out, Fritz,
what?
We weren't asking for every video game
I'm just
memory
giving you history, man. This is it. Psygnosis, who did Mega Blast.
First time I ever
heard the licensed music in a game, ever. Bomb the Base.
Primrose, just to remind you of the question...
Yes.
What's your
earliest memories?
Yeah. And what was your first home gaming console?
Yeah, all right. Okay, if you want to say home gaming console, then okay.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I come back from Malta.
First one.
Come back from Malta. From the catalogue, my mother got me Astro Wars.
Okay.
Is that a Is that a home console?
No,
Astro Wars?
It was a home. It was a console I had in my home that had one game on it. My mate next door had an Atari. We couldn't afford an Atari, so we didn't bother. And that was beforehand.
Mm. And when was that? When was?
Fucking hell! Now you're talking. When did Astro? When did
you've been doing a lot of talking to me then?
When did they start? Tell me toys. When did they invent AA batteries?
When did they invent the wheel?
Around about then.
Fire, wheel, all about the same time.
Yeah.
Fantastic. For me, I would just say earliest video game memories are... apparently, we did have a Spectrum, but I remember my dad telling me that we're going to get an Amstrad. And I was like, what the hell's that? And he brought us this massive black keyboard with a tape deck on the side. And I just remember... watching the loading screen, and it used to load line by line, and I never complained once. You know, it used to take like 10 minutes, never complained once.
There's no games on that thing. There's hardly any games on it, though.
I can't remember what I played. I remember watching my brother play Gauntlet on it a lot. Anyway, I can't really remember playing a lot on it. I just remember it being there, and I was playing something. I can't remember. But the kind of first game I was obsessed with was Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo. We had a Nintendo and stuff, but Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo was the first game I just obsessed about. And the first arcade...
When was that?
The first arcade console was Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter in a shop near me. And that... Super Nintendo came out in 97, I think, in the UK. Sorry, 92, sorry, in the UK. So I would have been 7. Yeah, I know. God, I'm so old. But when we had the Amstrad, I was probably about 4 or 5 when I was playing the Amstrad. So I was probably about 5. Anyway, memories. Right.
Isn't it cool though? Like putting that perspective on the kids that we know, like your nephew and stuff, Jeanette.
Yeah,
and what's going to happen years from now?
He'll be talking about Gears of War. Oh, remember Gears of War?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. God, I used to play that all the time. That was
Carl, you remember when we had to have the games on a disc, and we had to use a screen and a controller?
Oh, God, no, it's funny now, talking about floppy disks. Just ask somebody if you ever, you know, do you know what a floppy disk is? And they just give this look to you, like, what are you talking about?
I remember when I had an Amiga, and that you used to copy floppy disks. Right, for other people and stuff. And it used to like take 10 to 15 minutes to copy a floppy disk. Alright, and I used to remember seeing the little zeros on the copying software thing. And 10 minutes to copy a floppy disk, that's a file that you drag on there. It's just so unbelievable. Anyway,
512 megabit floppy disk, you were styling.
Yeah. You wanted to do it tape to tape, mate. SPSS.
Yep. Yeah, no,
that was it. It was groundbreaking when you had SPSS, when the tape deck would run at twice the speed when it was recording.
Yeah.
But then you got lower quality, so you could never... You never got as good a copies.
Tell you what, the problems we had back then, eh?
Yeah.
The evolution.
The kids today will be all like, oh, I remember when you just used to talk to your friends on Xbox Live and you had to talk to them with your voice. I don't know. Anyway, like Parsnip now says... Oh, no, I've just screwed up the Google Doc. There you go. Control Z. I remember being amazed while watching my older cousin play Space Invaders in a pub when I was about 11. And the earliest game console experiences I remember were Binatone, TV, Tennis, Coleco, and, of course, the Atari. Ah, those were the days. Moon Patrol for the win. Moon Patrol. And that was Parsnip's email. A very good email. We had a lot of fun out of that one.
Yeah, that was an excellent email. Good question. So, I mean, kind of going along with this whole theme of evolution of gaming, question for next week. Do free-to-play games interest you for anything beyond Angry Birds? So we've been hearing a lot of game companies talking about making their games free-to-play. But there's definitely a connotation around free-to-play games, them being subpar, not being up to snuff, to AAA game status. Is that changing? Or are you still in that kind of mindset, or have you never been in that mindset? So we'll talk about that next week.
Can I put a side note in there, Gregors?
You surely may.
Did you notice that Blacklight Retribution is coming out? That's free to play.
Yes.
As me and you were one of the only ones that jumped on the expert BLL, live jobber on that.
I've got Blacklight, whatever it's called.
Blacklight Tango Down.
But to be fair, I did have it for free, so... You know,
that, we could all go in and play it.
Yeah, but yeah. We won't.
No, we won't. No. What we will do, we are going to talk about community play dates. Mr. Matthew.
Yeah, see, my silence is intentional, Greg.
I like that.
Because there's nothing. Do something. Okay.
Hold on.
Wait. After my rant here, before I finish, I do want to point out that Friday... which is the 30th of March, right? 30th? Yeah, we'll go with that. The 30th of March, Friday, ends a contest that is being hosted by Mr. Spock, S-P-A-W-Q. He wants the coolest Skyrim character name, so he wants you to just put in the thread on the forums the name of your Skyrim character, why you came up with it, why it's cool, and he's got prizes to give out. So
cool.
Get in there.
Okay.
Yeah. One school wreck.
Good. And
he's an old.
Okay. It's real fast. Speaking of contests, we probably should point out DeSaint's Forza 4 paint race. You paint your race car. That I believe ends Saturday, the 31st.
Saturday, the Club Racer Challenge ends Saturday. Get your cars in there, and then he's starting a new challenge for April. So he's doing one a month. Pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Veteran
Speaking
Gamers
of not cool.
Beach at 6 Gross Mountain Time on Sunday. So
thanks for picking a game I can't play, guys.
Yeah,
nice appreciate that.
Dicks. happy birthday this week to Andy 93285, Karn Edge 93, Lee 866, and Blues Fox. Happy birthday! And no new members. So if you're out there in cyberspace listening to us right now and you don't hate this podcast, go join the forums. Speaking of
well
podcast, did you read the Twitters already?
I've not read the Twitters. I figured I would do that right now.
Yeah.
Which we had two tweet responses to our gaming, our guessing the game little segment from last week that, again, we freely admit did not go over necessarily all that well. Johnny Fartpants, we also know him as Gary, wrote in and said, at OC Podcast, never ever play that stupid Guess Who bollocks again. Nice try, but really? A little smiley face. And sorry, Johnny Fartpants, we screwed that up for you this week, apparently.
Sorry.
Yeah, Parsnip, though, he chimed in on the tweets last week and said, OC Podcast, hey, you lot, I really like that guessing game you played. Even with all four of you, it didn't seem too long. Well, hopefully we've come
to... He had it on 1.5 speed.
Yeah. Hopefully we have we've come to a happy medium to satisfy everybody here. And if not, well, you know, hey, we can only...
There's always Chivo Sudoku.
Yes, exactly.
I've got a question. I've got a question to ask somebody here. Like, do people listen to podcasts at like 1.5 speed?
Apparently so.
I usually listen to them at double speed. I like the Chipmunks.
Yeah, and we know Parsnip is a big fan of the Chipmunks after that one spotlight. So it maybe he did listen to it at fast speed. Who knows? Speaking of Parsnip, we've got a spotlight this week.
Hello, everybody. This is Parsnip Knows 3000 with another weekly community spotlight. This week, I want to thank the Dino for looking after the G4TE Modern Warfare 3 clan.
Dino!
I know that takes a lot of work, Dino, and I really appreciate every minute you spend doing it. So thank you very much, and back over to you bastards in the studio.
There you are.
Yeah, the only reason he likes looking after that clan is because of the fact that he just has to put 12 hours a day into using that AK-47. That man will not deviate from his AK-47. Love you, DVA, Dino. Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, speaking of Modern Warfare 3, I got to be playing some of that.
No, you don't.
I've been itching.
Greg, tonight.
I bought the DLC.
We're finishing all that.
You aching?
Yeah, I'm aching. I want to play some co-op.
Some bacon.
He's a big pig.
Lion King. Well done, Michael.
Thank you.
Greg, that you're going to play afterwards. I'm going to turn my Xbox on and download that DLC.
If you're really interested in playing Modern Warfare 3 or The Lion King, tell us about it. Send us an email at otpodcast@gmail.com.
I'll tell you what, The Lion King for the Super Nintendo was a cracking game. I love that.
But if you wanted to tweet us about playing Modern Warfare 3 or Battlefield 3 or any other game,
get out of here.
Send that to @OC Podcast. Sorry, @OC_.
Oh, great, you're fired.
I know. What the hell? Hey, Rich, if you lived in the U.S. and you wanted to call our voice line.
Yeah.
Do you know what number that would be?
Yeah. I wouldn't know because somebody would have dropped me into a foreign country and I wouldn't know where the bloody hell I was. So I'd dial the operator and I'd say to you, how do I get in touch with OC Podcast? And they'd say to you, 626-506-2763. And if you didn't like that one, then there's 626-50-OC-POD. That's for people that use the letters on their phone.
Freaks.
Which, who does that exactly? iTunes Zune reviews.
Please.
I promise we will check next week. We haven't checked for like a good month and a half, so we probably have a couple. Or none.
You know, because we just like getting together and talking shit.
We do. That's what we do. Closing comments, guys. Let's wrap this up. Mr. Michael Chen. Sorry, Mr. Mike Chen. I always want to call you Michael. I don't know
it's
why.
For, it's for it's for I'll let.
Sounds so nice, and then it's just Mike.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I should stop correcting people that it's not Michael because Michael sounds better.
Just adopt it. Why not?
Why not?
Change your name. Do it. Go down to the wherever you got to go to legally change it.
Asda, I think. So. I'll shout out the employees of Game and Game Station. And I know this probably won't be a very popular shout out because people say, you know, oh, screw them guys because, they make so much money on used games. But let me tell you, right, let me tell you this. So I went when I went to the Game Station, I didn't tell this part of the story. I said, this wasn't my friend who worked there. I didn't really know this guy. And he looked like he had a bad day, Greg. This was the day that they went into administration. And he looked like he was having a rough time, right?
Irony, I guess, in play there, because he probably was having a pretty bad day.
Yeah, he was. And I said to him, can I use my card? And he went, sorry, you can't use your card. I said, okay, all right, no problem. And then I started talking about him, you know, the administration thing. And he says, oh, man, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got 3 kids. I've got a mortgage. I thought, you know what? Me coming in here complaining about my £30 gift card that was given to me. He's a little bit rich. People are losing their jobs and it's not very nice. I hope they all find good jobs. I think that somebody will kind of put the money forward for Game and Game Station, but it'll be kind of like how Blockbusters is. There's still some around. In the UK, but you know they're not very popular. They'll cut most of them out, and they've already closed a lot of them.
Mike,
yeah,
you know the respectable thing to do. It was you should have given him the game card.
I should have shot him. He looked like if I put a gun out and pointed at him, he wouldn't have run. He would have gone, you know what? Just do it.
Aww.
He looked really bad, and I felt for him. I really did.
That's sad.
It is. It is. So I'll give a shout out to anybody that's lost their job. And works in one of those shops because it's not nice, even though you do make a lot of money out of used games, you bastards. Chris, I'll let you shout.
All right, well, I'm going to shout out you three for being here again, even you, Rich.
Cheers, me dope.
I'm going to shout out Gamer Dads Live, a new web community that I was recently directed to. Which is, it's a website for gamers who are dads. So check it out. Good fun.
Are they British, Chris?
Some are not.
I think because I think I've seen some of their videos on when they went to Eurogamer.
They recently put up a, they did a podcast, but they did like Avatar Connect podcast, and it was pretty clever because they were all in like tuxedos. It was very, very nice. Anyway, I'm going to shout out Martin Gamertag Phototut, because he seems to be the only person still playing Battlefield 3 that I know. So thanks for hanging in with me as I try to make my last little push to rank 45. I'll get there eventually. And our Facebook fans of the week this week, Jenny and Mark Wright. Congratulations.
Yep.
Which brings it around to Rick, Rich, Ricky, P, whatever you
name. Anybody.
Jeff.
Shout out to Jeff. Go.
Well, I'd just like to shout out Fupa for giving me a complex every time I read a story to my son at night when he goes to bed. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Spandex because I think over the last 10 years, Lycra's stolen the limelight. Still a lot to be said for Spandex. And also a shout out to Christian Allen, who's done a Kickstarter that's got 4 days left now. It was 5 days an hour or so ago. And basically this guy is a creative, key creative, behind Halo Reach. And yeah, he's done a really good video because he started a Kickstarter. He's trying to do. He was also behind Ghost Recon, Advanced Warfighter. And he started a Kickstarter for a game called Takedown, which I'm a bit dubious about the fact that he's only asking for $200,000 to make a game. But he's got pedigree behind him. And he's gone back to the drawing board because apparently he was getting a pitiful amount of donations. But there's only 4 days left and he's now up to 100,000, so he's halfway there. Watch the video for his Kickstarter. It's very good. Just Google Takedown Kickstarter. That's me done. Gregors, okay. Are you there?
I am here, and thank you, Rick, for that. That was great.
Well, Greg, you know, being as I'm now Rick, I may as well talk in a Rick sort of way.
No, I do want to shout out, as Mr. Matthew said, you clowns, you know what? This is definitely a highlight to my week every week, so it's a big part of the reason why I do it.
And you obviously don't do much else during the week, then.
This is true. I do have one more shout out, and I'm going to play it for you. Hopefully it comes through properly.
Today's word of the day is dobber.
That message was sent to me at 4 o'clock in the morning, care of Mr. Rick Primrose.
I also get them, Greg.
Yeah, but see, it probably comes across at the right time for you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning, there's nothing like hearing Richard Primrose.
It's all right, Richard.
The word of the day is...
Yeah.
Dobber.
Yeah, every day. Me and Rich Webster's on it now.
Now, I do have to ask you a question, and this will wrap up the show, of course. It is... Is Dobber related to Bingo?
Yeah, man.
And did I not hear correctly that you got in a fight with the Bingo caller?
No,
that night
I threw a Dobber at a Bingo caller. It's the first time I've ever been to Bingo. I got dragged to a Bingo night out for my cousin's birthday. And me and some raucous characters were kicking up a rumpus. We did get shot with an electric water pistol though. For a troubles, yeah. We won a shit box as well.
I think you should end the show, to be honest.
And on that note, we're done. We're out of here.
Bye bye, everyone. Jam up all.
Yeah.
We could pay you £70 annually for an ad.
I've got it! It's Greg DeLisa! Woo!
Exactly.
I forgot what I drew
for you.
It already looks like a penis.
I really feel left out with this draw something. Everybody's playing draw something. Everyone.
It is. It's fun just because it's easy. I mean... Realistically, you should never not get it.
It's got the rubber. The rubber's come out already.
The rubber's come... What the hell are you talking about? What did I draw for you?
The eraser. Oh, that's easy.
Oh, I think I started to draw, and then I realized I screwed up how I wanted to draw it, and so I erased it.
It's the American spelling. Is it a popsicle?
Yes.
We don't get them over here. It's only because I've...
The people that I'm doing work for, Greg. So that's like the home team. And Aston Villa. I know them players.
Is that where Mark McGuire plays?
Probably.
I love it. Greg's got the Mark McGuire in. Good stuff.
Mike, by the way, I wanted to congratulate you on another fine episode of Sent You a Message. I just watched it on Xbox Live.
No problem.
Seriously, every time I see that guy, I think of you.
You're not the only one, mate. Not the only one.
Not gonna say anything. Did you guys hear her say it's now recording?
Yes.
Interesting. I can't hear it, but yeah, it's recording. Here we go.
You didn't mention Chris, did you?
I did.
He did.
He's not.
If you pay attention, Rich, you'll hear things like that.
No, I've just got to say that because I've got to do a bit of a lead in to Chris as well to do with Mass Effect and stuff. So
I see. That's cool.
I will make sure.
Can I just say soapy tit wank?
Yeah.
Which soapy tit wank?
Which we've all been there.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, all right. I don't think it sucks.
It does.
I just think it needs some further explanation.
So badly.
Oh, good Lord.
And the more I think about it, the more it sucks.
I hope it's ruined the whole series for you.
No, it's just the last 20 minutes.
See, it didn't ruin the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just as you look back on it, you think, what happened here? What happened there? The whole time you were glued to that TV, you were playing it, and you were enjoying it. So shut up.
I want to get a drink because somebody might say something I don't want to hear.
At that moment, it was okay. For the most part, it sucks.
You need to stash some crisps.
Nobody buys crisps in this house anymore. It's all fucking Ryvitas and
shit.
Don't
you make the money?
Well, yeah. Why don't you just go buy some crisps yourself one of these days when you're picking up your beer?
Buy them your damn self.
Yeah, I don't do the shopping.
Sounds to me like you already have the solution to your problem.
That makes sense. I've just moved you because I'm hunting.
I'm just going to predict something here.
I did not understand a word of that.
I'm just going to predict something here, and please stop me if I'm going crazy or something, but you haven't... I know it's a bit Darren Brown of me, but you're not eating by any chance. Yeah? Yeah.
Rich, this is directed at you, Rich.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. Did you find crisps? Is that what's going on here?
Rye fucking Vita.
What?
Rye Vita.
Rye Vita?
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
What are they, Rich? Like the crackers or?
Yeah, it's got seeds on it.
It's very interesting to know what Rich is eating. How about we move on?
Mm.
We can move on.
Let's do that.
All right, Rich, stop eating.
Hold on. Got one bit left.
Wow.
Can I go home now?
Hey, yes, did you mention that there was new Gears of War DLC this week?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah,
you know who doesn't care about that? Me.
You? Why?
I'm done with Gears, man. It's just burned out on it.
How can you haven't even been playing it lately. How can you be burned out on it?
Well, that's the thing, right? You ever have such a huge pile of work to do that you just don't even want to bother?
Yeah.
That's Gears of War to me right now. It's like there's such a huge mound of crap to do if I want to get any achievements in that game. I'm like, what?
Oh, okay.
You know mate, my brother, he's almost there.
Dude, I know. Your brother's crazy.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts. Similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.